Psalm Proverbs 22, verse 9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. And the next one is chapter 19, verse 17, which is, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done.
Thank you. Well, it's really good to be at Thursday public talk. If you don't know me, my name is Kian. And Sam actually just reminded me, actually this is my second last talk. Why did I do that? Because I love the gospel and I love the loss to know about Jesus. And they are not only in UPS, but they are also somewhere out there. About, 15 to 20 kilometers from here. Yeah, this is going to be my last year in Credo. Next year I'll be moving to Macquarie University. Excited to start a new ministry amongst PhD internationals. So these are international students coming from overseas and they're studying PhD. They're a bit older than you. And they usually come with families. So I'm really excited. They need to hear the gospel as well, and most of them, 100% of them, they are returning back to their home countries. So when you think about global mission as a whole, I think this is really, really a strategic and very important ministry. But I'm going to be missing my family here. If I can see you. There you go, this is my family. This is my, and you are my family as well. I'm going to miss you. Well, this is week 11, and we are starting a new talk series, but there is nothing new. We're still going through the book of Proverbs from the Bible. And this week is Credo Financial Partnership Week, if you don't know. And today we had fun under the sun, outside there. Fundraising some money for people who are in need. Well, one thing that you need to know, that being a Christian actually does not mean that you only understand doctrines or teachings. Well, doctrines and teaching are very important in Christianity, but I want you to know that being a Christian, or when you become a Christian, you just don't understand those good things, those good teachings, but you also know how you live your lives practically, following the living and resurrected Jesus. So let me tell you simply, it is how people basically who don't know Jesus can know that you are Jesus' disciples. Not so much by the way that you say that you are Christian, but by the way that you live. It is how people can see, especially this week as we are talking about money and giving, that you give joyfully, that you give self-sacrificially, that you give generously. And this is basically what we're going to talk about today, about how you should be generous. It is basically how you realize that you are a child of God, and God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to set you free, and you're just so liberated. You have that kind of feeling. So when you give not under compulsion, but you give cheerfully, joyfully to God. And this feeling, I believe, is so liberating. So I'm not sure about you, but I have known some people who have been generous in my life. And as you know, that Credo staff worker, we all have to fundraise in order for us to be on campus, to work alongside with student leaders, to reach out the campus for Christ. And I still remember about 6.5 years ago, when I first did my fundraising, I basically was very thankful for this man who came to me. I didn't know him before. I didn't know him before. I never met him before. And he came up to me and he said that, I'm going to give you, I'm going to support you $5,000 for you to start with. So I thought that he is a generous man. He is a very generous man. So I'm not sure about you, if you have had similar experience. And someone, let's say, gives you generously, especially something that you desperately need. Especially if you live in Sydney, you know how expensive it is. All things are very expensive here. And it is hard sometimes for you to be generous, right? How should I care for others, let's say, if I still have to care for myself? especially me, you know, you, uni students, poor uni students, okay? How can I be generous to others? Well, that's what our society kind of teaches us, isn't it? Our society teaches us to work hard, to aim hard, to aim high, to accumulate wealth, and to be prosperous. But for whom? It's for you, actually. For your future. It's for your own being. It's for your own good. Not so much for others, not so much to give away. I was born as a third generation Chinese in Indonesia. And so my grandparents basically came from China all the way to Indonesia. My father was born there, I was born there. And I still remember the sayings from my parents and from my grandparents, how hard it is basically for us to make money. So that's why they said, keep on emphasizing, we need to work hard. We need to strive hard, right? We need to work very hard. Why? Because we are born as Asians, not Visions, you know? We're born basically to work hard. We're born basically to make money. We're born to be prosperous. We're born to be wealthy. That's in fact, if you have been in a Chinese New Year, let's say, in Chinese family or maybe in Chinatown, they always say that. Whenever they say Happy New Year to you, they always say that may you be prosperous in the following year. Because that's the goal of life. Even in Asian community in which I live in Sydney, there are always pressures for people to make money, to be successful. After babies were born, when they are in school age, children education basically need to be perfect. Okay, so children need to be in tutorial, not only in math, in science, and also in English. And if that is not enough, children need to be in a selective school. But not just a selective school, but the best selective school in the country. That's why we are born as Asians, not Asians, because A is basically the aim, okay? That's who we are. And you know that we have our own grading, basically, in our family. And basically, A is just an average here, okay? So in Asian family, we see that children need to be intelligent and charming. And if that's not enough, they need to be sporty and musical. And if that is not enough, they need to succeed in HSE and study medicine at CTU. And if that is not enough, they need to have their first job. They need not only just to have $50,000 job, but $100,000 job to start with. And that's the goal of life. And if that is not enough, they need to have a beautiful spouse and beautiful children. And if that is not enough, they need to have a house. They need to own a house in the most expensive suburb with not only 3 bedrooms, but 5 bedrooms with 5 European cars sitting in the garage. You know, that's just basically the dream. And that's not just true amongst Asians, I believe. It is true for most of us maybe who live in Sydney these days. It's not just so much for us, but it is also for all of us. So the book of Proverbs and the Bible actually is teaching us quite radical way on how we should view our wealth. First of all, how we should view our wealth. Where is it from? How do we manage it? The second thing. And also the third one is how can we can be generous. Right? So let's start from number one. Where is wealth from? Well, the book of Proverbs actually teaches us that wealth basically is from God. Wealth is from God. So this is the Lady Wisdom who is talking about this. She basically personified God himself. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold, which I yield surpasses choice silver. So this is the Lady Wisdom said that basically riches and honor all belong to God. And God basically is the one who gave this thing to us. And this is actually quite contrary to what we believe, right? What we have understood. My family basically taught me that wealth is something that you can earn, something that you can labor. But the fact is that God is the one who gave all these things to us. So can you imagine that all the things that you have, every single cent of money in your bank account, they are all basically from God. God is the one who blesses us generously, day by day. God is the one who gives us this amazing generosity from himself for us every single day. And God has blessed people in the Old Testament. So for example, Abraham, whose name was Abraham before, it says in the Bible that in Genesis 13, he became very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. Why? Because God had blessed him. And it says in verse 6, basically the land could not support Abraham and Lot while they were staying together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And that's not only Abraham, but King Solomon. King Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 3, it says that, well, this is God basically who says to King Solomon, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal amongst kings. God basically is the one who showered the blessing to all human beings, including Abraham, including Solomon. So the book of Proverbs actually commands us who work hard. So this blessing or this wealth does not just come to us, but it comes to us through different means. And one of them is actually through working or hard working. In Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 8, go to the ant, basically. We're being encouraged to learn from the ant. You sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Hard work, number one. Second thing is that careful work. Proverbs 27, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. Make sure that you know the condition of your flocks. Make sure that you give attention to your herds, talking to the herders. What it means is that make sure that you are doing careful work as you earn wealth, as you earn money. And the third thing is that Proverbs 28, the next slide, Proverbs 28 verse 20, it urges us also to be faithful in our work. A faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. So hard work, careful work, and faithful work. However, the author of this book also condemns those of us, or those of human, or all human beings, basically some human beings, who are earning money through evil actions. You can read that from the book of Proverbs in some selection of verses. Well, I can stop here, actually, and say that if God is the one who has blessed us with all these things, if He is the one who is the source, basically, of all those things that we have, how can we be not generous to others, right? Well, let me tell you a story. Our family just bought a game in our Nintendo Wii, and that game is called DDR. Next slide. Next one, sorry. Yeah, DDR. So DDR, it stands for Dance Dance Revolution. Okay? How many of you don't know DDR? Okay, let me just tell you, okay? This is what's going to happen. So basically, you insert the CD into Nintendo Wii, alright? And it comes with this mat, okay? And Nintendo Wii basically will play different songs, and what you have to do is that you have to move your legs to the one that is pointed by the screen or from the screen. You got what I mean? And my favorite song in DDR is actually one by Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh.
All right? So it goes like this. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down. Yeah!
I deserve you.
Exactly, stop there, okay? It brings back. It brings back all the, you know, teenager memory alive. Well, can you imagine? Can you imagine? This is my son, Joel. Okay, not that. This is my son, Joel. Okay, 7 years old. Can you imagine that he came to me and said that I'm not going to let you play on DDR? He said, I'm not going to let you play on DDR. I said that. What? Can you imagine what I would say to him? I'm going to say to him that, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. Well, I was the one who bought the DDR, right, for the family. I was the one who used my money to buy this DDR, and you're not going to let me play? You're going to be miserable. Okay? So, well, basically, can you imagine that that's what God is going to say to us if we are not generous? God says that, you know, everything that you have now, it's all from me. How can you be not generous to others? That's the same kind of thing that God will say to us. God is the one who gave us everything, and He wanted us to give all the things that we have generously, especially to those who are in need. So that's number one. Number two, should I use this or are you going to click that? Oh, you're going to click that. Okay.
Just all pretend right. to be using the pointer.
All right. Number two, how should we manage wealth? Well, the Bible actually says that God basically is the one who showered us with these blessings, both material and spiritual, because He's a good God. However, there are parts in the Bible in which we need to be careful, because we need to be careful that money can be dangerous for us. The Bible says, especially in the New Testament, Matthew 6:21, it says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Why? What does it mean? It means that basically what you spend and what you do with your money, how you manage your money, that really tells about your spirituality. What it says is that where you put your money, where you manage your money, is a matter of your heart. And how you spend your money tells about your spirituality, tells about your relationship with God. Well, the right question from God's perspective is that what should be our attitude toward money? Well, from the book of Proverbs, we learn that foolish people, first of all, those who do not have the wisdom of God, for those who do not have the knowledge that comes from God, they basically cannot manage their wealth. And when they cannot manage their wealth, poverty comes in. Proverbs 11:18, a wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. They may accumulate their material advantage, but it will only be temporary and gives no real advantage. And not only this, but these foolish people, they are also selfish in their attitude toward it. So they are slack and lazy. They want to be rich, but they don't want to work hard. Proverbs 10:4-5. Lazy hands makes for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. But for those who are wise and righteous and work hard, God basically is the one who blessed them. God blessed them with wealth, as I said before. But how should the wise then manage their money? Well, on one hand, I believe that they need to consider their resources, how they use them wisely. So not to devour them, but to use them wisely. Proverbs 21:17-20, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but the fools gulp theirs down. It's very clear, right? Make sure that we basically consider the resources and use them wisely. However, on the other hand, it also challenge the wise, basically, to think about how they need to give generously to the poor. Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them will receive many curses. One more, 29:7, the next slide. The righteous care about the justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. All those verses that I just read to you, basically it challenged us to think about how we should care for the people in and around us, especially those who are poor, those who are needy. And what is fantastic is that the Bible also emphasizes, and this is from the book of Proverbs, emphasizes that when the wise is open-handed to the poor, it is considered as if it's lending to God. Whoever is kind to the poor, Proverbs 19, whoever is kind to the poor, as if that they are lending this to God, okay? And God will reward them for what they have done. And when we become generous, don't worry about what you need. God will provide all these things for us. Proverbs 11:25-26. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Don't worry about what you need. God will supply all those things. Be generous. Why? Because God has blessed us. God will take care of each one of our needs. He will bless us. Isn't that fantastic? That's a fantastic promise, I believe. Well, the third question is that how can we be generous? All right? I believe that some of you in this room are already generous enough. I know that most of you have dedicated your time to lead small group Bible studies, and that's actually an expression of your generosity. You have been generous. I really thank God for your gift of generosity. But the question is, well, you may ask me, isn't that what you want us to do, Kian, today, is actually to be more generous, right? Or what? Then what should we do? Do we say to ourselves, for example, do we say to ourselves every day in front of the mirror, do we say to ourselves, Kian, you need to be a generous man today? Or if I have not been generous, I said to myself in front of the mirror, bad, Kian, bad. You are a bad person. You have not been generous enough. Do you think that's going to work? Obviously not. How can I be a generous person? Well, I believe that generosity is a matter of heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore, I think this is something that you need to just not only just know, but store it in your heart, what God has done to you. Let me just continue to the next slide. Let me read from 1 John 4, verse 9 to 10. This is how God showed His love amongst us, that He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Can you imagine that this is a very powerful verse? It's very powerful verse. Why? Because it says here that God showed His love amongst us, that He sent not only just a son, God's son, or one of His sons, but He sent His one and only Son into this world that we might live through Him. Well, I mentioned to you about my second son, Joel, who's 7 years old. I have an older son who is 14 years old. His name is Josiah. So a few days ago, Josiah came up to me and asked me whether he can be involved in the musical production at school. As an Asian father, I told him, Nola, you study. But he insisted. And Lisa, my wife, you know, coming to me and being less Asian and said, I think we should give him a chance. I think we should give him an opportunity to experience something else. So after we're talking and thinking, and finally we decided, okay, Josiah, I will give you time to do your musical production, whatever it is, okay? One day a week. Well, one of the many reasons why I don't really let him go for, this preparation for his musical production, it's actually because I know that if he goes, or if he committed, let's say, to this thing, I will lose a day with him, right? I will lose one day with him because he's going to be away. Well, can you see this? God is not just losing His son for one day. He's not just losing a son. But God sent His one and only Son into this world to die on the cross for us, to set us free, so that we can receive His blessing, that we can live free, free from the punishment of sin, free from the condemnation of sin. And that is a generous gift. I believe that that is a generous gift. And if that is not enough, Jesus actually, who is the wisdom of God Himself, who has been generous to us. Next slide. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. What does it really mean? It means that Lord Jesus Christ himself, he was rich. He left heaven, basically, to come into this world, and he basically left his richness to be poor. But what's the purpose? The purpose is for us, actually, so that we who are poor can become rich towards God. And I think that this is radical. This is crazy. Okay? But that's what God did in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know about this thing. If you have not received God's generous gift, I hope that you realize that you need one. You desperately need one. God has sent his one and only Son into this world so that we can be set free. You know, I don't know if you have received gifts. I believe that you have received gifts before, right? But can you imagine that you receive something that you don't need? Okay? So last year, I received something that I don't think I need. It's the bubble bath liquid. I don't think I need that, okay? No matter how expensive that bubble bath liquid, can you imagine? I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with it, okay? But 1 John 4, it says that God sent his one and only Son into this world. This is something that we desperately need. We desperately need Jesus. And he has given Jesus to us. Therefore, I think there is no reason for us not to be generous to others. And how can we be generous? We need to be sensitive enough to look for opportunities in and around us. What does it look like in practice? If you are a Christian in this room, I want you to be thinking about God, basically, who faithfully loved you. And I want you to be thinking how generous he is. And I believe that that generosity and this radical faith in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ, is something that God wants you to think about. Well, let me tell you a story about a guy that I just call him Jack. Well, 2 years ago, Jack graduated from UTS. And is now working comfortably in a law firm. He lives with his parents, so he doesn't have to pay his rent. He doesn't have to buy a house. And Jack actually has been planning for a 2 weeks vacation holiday in Japan. He hasn't had proper holidays for years. However, in the local church in which Jack goes to, the church was actually helping out a refugee center. And in that refugee center, there is a refugee family. Refugee family coming from Afghanistan. Someone who looks like the one on the screen. Okay? And this refugee family from Afghanistan live quite far away from public transport line and don't have a car. So basically they do need a car to drive their kids to school and also for them to go to work. But they just can't afford one. Jack basically was on his final step to pay his bill for Japan. So he's in front of his computer on the internet banking, ready to transfer $3,000 for his 2 weeks holiday in Japan. But for Jack, at that moment, $3,000 looks like a second-hand car that he can give the money to his family. So finally, Jack prayed about it, and he came to the conclusion that he has to transfer the money to the family. He called up his pastor and asked for BSV and bank account. And finally, Jack made that transfer. With a click of a mouse, 2 weeks holiday in Japan is gone. But his family can have a car. And I think that's a generosity. How about you? Are you ready to live up in the radical faith in the Son of God who died for you? Well, some of you receive youth allowance money from the government. And I know that some of you might be planning that, you know, I'm going to use that money to buy the latest iPhone 6. It's just so cool. But instead, maybe you might be thinking that I want to give the money generously to support next year new stuff at Credo. for only like $20 a week, or maybe $20 a month. And I believe that that gift is something that God will be pleased with. The guy that I told you about who gave me $5,000 when I first did my first fundraising, I don't think he started then giving $5,000. No. I believe that he started from something small. And $5,000 is the maturity, basically, that he got. What is the bottom line? The bottom line, well, you ask for me, right? You ask for me, right? So what is the bottom line here? How much should I give? 10%, 20%, 30%? Well, let me tell you this. You need to think about what Christ or God has given to us. He has given us 100%. Not 10%, not 20%. So it's really up to you how much you want to give. Some of you are not that privileged to give money, but you said that I'm willing to give my time when I study at uni. I'm willing to give my time 6 hours a week to lead the Bible study, to lead a small group, and I think you should talk to Kirsten about this. She will be happy to hear that. And I think that's just a fantastic gift. It's a generosity that you need. And I believe that God will be pleased with that. Be generous. Why? Because God has been generous to us, and Jesus has given His life for us, so that we who are poor can be rich to it. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to You. We give thanks to You that You sent Your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, so that we can be set free. And we thank You, Lord, for that gift of generosity. We pray that all of us who have received that gift, we pray that we may be generous, not only with our money, but with our time, with our talent, with whatever thing that we have. We want to commit all these things to You. And thank You again, Lord, for giving us Jesus, so that we who are poor can be rich toward You. And we all pray in His name. Amen.